he introduced me. Emily Tennell, freshwater technical advisor. Currently based in Dunedin, but I was in Invercargill for a period of 8 years in the dock office here, so very familiar with the freshwater environments of the Southland region. So I just want to add a... So I won't read through my evidence, obviously, but I will just add about table one, where I've provided the freshwater... page five.
Yep.
Yeah, so that's the freshwater values for the Southland region for fish species. At the top there I have the Pomahaka galaxis, and there might be a question around why that's included in the evidence, given most of the Pomahaka catchment is within Otago Regional Council boundaries. So there is possibly a couple of subpopulations that do fall within environment Southland region, because there's the Waibahi East branch. I think little bits of that possibly fall within the ES boundary, and the
Kaiwera is about 3 or 5 kilometres of the Kaiwera stream within Southern Regional Council boundary.
So there's likely some populations on the Pomahaka galaxies within ES's boundaries, and so just in regards to that species as well, plate 2 on page 9. I have an example of Pomahaka galaxies habitat. Now that's also, that could serve as example of habitat for Gollum galaxies as well as Southern Flathead galaxies. So it's, you know, a sort of typical habitat that you might find these non-migratory galaxid species living within. So often it is marginal habitat or considered marginal habitat. So small tributary streams where you'd sort of expect there to be low freshwater values can actually contain quite vulnerable non-migratory galaxid species.
Yep.
Yeah. Any questions?
Questions are right, Lord. We'll start at your end of the table. Questions from Ms. Cornell?
Yes, on page 12, point 17, you make mention in rule 78, you crossed out sediment and put in mud. And then you've talked about fish removal, which I understand, and I was wondering, and I understand your point, is spraying one of the things that you're promoting that could actually help that from physical cleaning to a more non-invasive maintenance of the stream?
Yeah, well, absolutely, because you're not doing that physical removal of fish. Obviously, there are issues around spraying as well, in terms of when you've got large beds of macrophytes dying within the stream, you can have real oxygen lags in the stream with that decomposition. But it certainly is one way of ensuring that physical habitat isn't removed, and as well as physical removal of fish, because we've certainly seen plenty of fish being removed through stream maintenance activities.
I understand that. Could you comment on why you crossed out sediment and recommend mud?
This is probably a bit of a planning question as well as a freshwater one, but from the ecological side of things, the removal of gravels as part of sediment is really key habitat for a lot of our native fish species. Therefore, we want to lessen the removal of gravels, and the focus should be a removal of mud rather than removal of gravels.
And the mud was picked because
These questions are for Ms. Fennell, and I'm going to be quite strict with your
witnesses. Sorry, my apologies.
I'm stricter with you than I am with lay submitters, so we'll take the questions expert by expert. Thank you.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Yeah. Just one question. With a bit of consternation, the list of threatened and at-risk species. So just for comparative purposes, how would the catchments under this particular regional council compare with the rest of New Zealand? Is this a symptomatic illustration of a...
It's fairly comparable.
Right.
But the only difference with Southland and Otago, Otago's even worse, so we've got off a wee bit lighter than Otago, is that we do have a lot of non-migratory species. And because they are so restricted in terms of habitat, you often are dealing with only a handful of populations. So therefore, their threat ranking goes up quite high, because if you lose a couple of populations, then you can risk losing a whole species. So as soon as you've got those species, and do you know what I mean by non-migratory galaxids? Sorry.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those species are just highly vulnerable, so, you know, hence the high threat ranking for them. And so we have a few in Southland, and there's a lot in Otago. Elsewhere in the country, not quite so many non-migratory galaxy populations, but the list would still be fairly high, and threat rankings for our native fish populations is, you know, a lot of them are in trouble.
So how long would it be since we put another galaxid species on the at-risk area? Like, I mean, is this something that is a snowball going downhill, or have we kind of reached a list of where we are at, or tell me what's happening?
Well, the threat ranking process is about to kick off again in a couple of weeks. So I would expect possibly more to be added to that threat list, because we are going to back to populations and finding that the ones that have been there in previous surveys are no longer there. So, and that's a lot of issues around trout, as well as water quality and habitats that have previously been there but have been drained since.
So how much of this would be, we have more information about the various species, or the degradation is increasing?
A wee bit of both, yeah. So we are learning about new species. Is that what you get?
Yes.
The fact that there is new species. So we are doing more research into species, and, you know, there's more taxonomic work which is describing new species. But there's also a lot of work going into monitoring these species where we're going back to populations and they're no longer there.
Thank you.
Good morning. Kia ora koutou. Just in your paragraph 20, you're talking about Carrigan's Creek and the Waituna catchment, where Doppler involved, or you had some personal experience of some channel clearance.
Yep.
Considerable number of eel and bullies and other fish caught in that stretch. Is that a reflective of other areas of Southland, do you think, or is it?
Cairns Creek does have reasonably high value, as do all the Waituna catchment creeks, but I would still expect a reasonable diversity in many of our other waterways in Southland. Yeah.
So what's your suggestions in terms of good management practice when clearing drains? Should that be included in the...
I think there should be a code of practice around... I think there should be a code of practice around mechanical clearance. I don't think we're there yet, around protecting habitat features such as gravels and overhanging vegetation. Plus, we also need to look a bit wider at ensuring that we are reducing sediment and nutrient inputs into streams, so that we're not getting the macrophyte growth, getting more shade cover, and so that we're getting less sediment inputs. Fencing off streams so that we're not getting collapsing banks. But in the Waituna catchment, there has been some work done looking at habitat quality within some of the creeks. And where most of the bank erosion was noted to be occurring was where stock weren't being excluded. So, you know, we've got some good science around that. It's a whole suite of actions that are needed to reduce the need for mechanical clearance because of those issues around physical removal of fish and the loss of habitat. There's loss of habitat as it's bigger an issue as water quality, in my view.
Yes. You didn't submit any particular.
Because it's a big program of work. Like I said, it's a whole suite of things that need to be developed. So I think it was sort of a bit beyond the evidence.
Is the department actively involved with the regional council on these issues?
Yeah. We're working on developing best practice management at the moment, and I know some councils around the country have developed that too. So I think there is a lot of work towards that, and also within the Waituna catchment, I know Environment Southland is actually working with DOC to look at an alternative stream maintenance program around using some chemical spraying and some of the sites instead of using a mechanical clearance. So that should, you know, help with a lot of our, like we've got giant cockapoo down in those creeks, so protecting them.
So is it a nature or a situation in Southland with its geographic wet nature that drains need to be cleared, and there's a regular maintenance requirement around drains.
Well, they're low-lying and they're slow-flowing, so you don't have the same sort of flash effects of, you know, flooding that shifts that sediment along, so it tends to, you know, sit a bit more deeply.
So you see it as an issue, quite an issue, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. looking at your recommendations at paragraph 17 in relation to this weed and sediment removal, the word mud is not defined. And I just wonder how a trigger operator might determine whether or not they're removing, I suppose it's the 5% gravel that's the turning point. How will a digger operator be able to determine whether or not they're taking out more than 5%, considering this is a permitted activity, something that they would have to sort of do as they go?
So, right, can I defer that question to our planner this morning, because he could probably answer that question better than I can, I think.
Yeah, Mr. Murray, you can anticipate some questions from the panel on how on earth your suggestion could be practically implemented in your problems, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thanks, Mr. Chairman. And the last recommendation you've got there is that this, for it to be a permitted activity, it shouldn't be the habitat of a golem or an alpine galaxin. So, and you've got a map there showing where they live.
Yeah.
So how would that be incorporated into the permitted activity status?
I think that's a planning question as well, in terms of how it's going to be incorporated into the plan. But just in terms of protecting the habitat, I think it's looking at alternative solutions to the actual mechanical clearance for those habitats so that we can protect them, because they do require those gravels as part of their spawning habitat. It's really key for them. So we need to protect those gravels, therefore, by having them part of a schedule, I think then we can look at alternatives as to how we maintain their habitat.
Okay, so default to discretionary activity if it wasn't permitted, so that those streams that had golem galaxies in wouldn't be able to be cleaned out unless it was with a consent, a discretionary consent.
Yeah.
And what kind of conditions would you put on that?
Facilities would be outside of spawning, spawning times, and also it would be ensuring that those gravels remain within within the stream for the habitat.
And so on your schedule, is that specifically just defined so that I imagine a number of these streams would be privately owned, not regional council ones? And so would a person who's going to clean out their drain be able to see exactly where these habitats start and where they stop from your schedule?
I don't know, let's have a look at the map.
It's at a fairly big scale.
I see what you mean. I guess we'd probably have to provide GPS start and extent of populations.
Yeah. And perhaps my last question, Mr. Chairman, for you, Emily, is that golem, while you say it's threatened, it is actually pretty widespread. So is it credible to say that it is threatened as a species?
Yeah, that comes down to, that's a question for the expert threatened species panel. They're the ones that go through the process of defining whether they're threatened or not myself. However, I do know that there are many populations that have been there in the past that are no longer there on resurvey. So, and that's enough, that's part of the consideration that the threat panel look at in terms of that. What are the trends of the populations doing when they define their threat rank?
Okay, thank you.
One question from me, which you may well have already answered. So just looking at your paragraph 29, the very last portion of that paragraph is those special conditions slash good management practices should be followed.
Mm-hmm.
Were you referring there to these best management practice guidelines that you discussed with Commissioner Allison?
Not necessarily.
Specific provisions in the plan, and if so, were those outlined in the submission?
No, they weren't outlined in the submission, but I would expect to see some.
These are all 78 we're talking about. Policy. Ms. Fennell, you're supposed to answer the questions based on your own expertise, not seeking advice from the planner.
I don't know exactly what's all in the plan, but from what I wrote in this paragraph, it was, I just think that all drainage practices should be following best management, and that's still to be developed, as far as I'm aware.
Okay. So, just clarify, so wasn't that best practice guideline that you talked about with Commissioner Allison? But you're saying there need to be good management practices followed, but they haven't been defined yet?
No, they haven't, but I think that the department is developing some that could be then implemented by regional councils.
Okay.
In fact, hopefully that's where they get to, but there still needs to be a little work put into them.
Yep, no, thank you very much for that. That's all I wish to clarify. So,